Welcome, foolish mortals, to Raised on the Diz. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I am your host, Nick, and before we get started, I just want to let everybody know that we are live on Facebook at facebook.com/raisedonthediz. We also have an Instagram profile now where we're sharing lots of cool pictures and trip tips, and that is instagram.com/raisedonthediz. And of course, you can find us on the web at www.raisedonthediz.com. We have a blog there. Our podcast is located there, and there's some personal information about us and our family and favorite parks and rides. So head over to raisedonthediz.com for all of that cool information. And we're working on a YouTube channel. So we have a trip coming up, and we're going to post a lot of cool stuff there. We're looking forward to it. We're also figuring out how to do it. We're really up front here. We're not experts. We are just starting out. This is just something we're trying out, right, Zolianne? Zolianne's here.
That's right. Hi, everyone.
So we're going to get that YouTube channel set up here in the next couple weeks, and we'll be able to post some room tours of our vacation, and we're planning to do some restaurant reviews as well. And I think the kids – so we bought a GoPro, mm-hmm. and the kids want to be able to take that on the rides and do some first – person
yes.
videos of the rides as well.
Yes, they're really excited to get to mess with the GoPro on some of their favorite rides.
So what we're talking about today are the things that we are most excited about for our trip. And we think that would be useful for people who are planning to kind of talk it over with their own family, you know, figure out what people are excited about for trips that are coming out, or maybe you're just going to Disney World for the first time. And so I think the podcast is really helpful for folks if they haven't been to Disney World to kind of get a first person view of what to expect and what are some of the cool things to look out for.
Right. And just, you know, looking down over our list. Now, we did ask our kids as well to give us like their top thing that they're looking forward to, but for Nick and I, we each identified three things that we're looking forward to, and there are no rides on our list. I mean, I'm going to mention a couple rides, but, you know, so these are things that, you know, even if you are not someone who typically likes to ride on some of these rides, these are things that even you may be able to enjoy.
Yeah, I think pretty much when you look down this list, we could probably title it, It's the Little Things.
I mean, right.
These are a lot of little things that we're getting excited about for this trip. And I do want to mention, too, we did put it out to our Instagram followers. What are some things that you get excited about when you go to Disney World? And we heard back from a couple folks that basically what they get excited about is just seeing the passion of their kids. And I think that's something that we can agree with, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll get right to it. And I am going first for It's the Little Things and talking about the little things that we are looking forward to. So Zolianne and myself and our family have stayed at value resorts, at moderate resorts, and at deluxe resorts. And at this trip, we're staying at a new resort for us, and it is a deluxe resort. We're staying at Boardwalk Villas. So we have a room at Boardwalk Villas, and for those who are not familiar, it is located along Crescent Lake, right outside of Epcot. And I've been there. I haven't stayed at Boardwalk, but I stayed at Beach Club for a work conference, and so was able to walk over to Boardwalk and kind of check it out. Very nice resort. I'm really looking forward to staying there. But one of the big things that is really alluring for that resort is it is literally steps away from Epcot and a short 5 to 7 minute walk to Hollywood Studios. There's a walking path. And I know that that is probably the number one thing that I am looking forward to, just being able to walk to the parks. For those who aren't familiar with Epcot, there is a back entrance, mm-hmm. and it's really popular in the Food and Wine Festival that happens in the late summer and early fall. That basically all of the countries have food booths that feature different foods from the region that you're in, and also drinks as well. So that's a really popular time, and Boardwalk is really popular for the Food and Wine Festival. But also you can walk to Hollywood Studios, which in my opinion has really upped its game over the past couple years, bringing in Toy Story Land and also Galaxy's Edge, which is a really great Star Wars area that has a lot of great rides and a really immersive experience as well. So you have really great access to both of those parks from Boardwalk. And then we are doing Magical Express, so we're not renting a car for this vacation, but we will have to take a bus to Magic Kingdom and to Animal Kingdom. But definitely looking forward to being able to walk to two of those parks.
And I don't even know, I'm not sure where the back entrance is. Like, I know it's in the country section, but I am excited just to see when you go through that kind of back entrance, where do you pop out at exactly? Like, which country? I think it's near, like, France, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're right. It's between Great Britain and France.
Okay.
So you walk over a bridge, and the International Gateway is what it's called. It's located right there. So that's basically where you enter the park in that area. And again, I mean, it's really popular with people that are into the countries. I think for adults, it's really popular, but it's very convenient for families too, because if you're at the parks, and we've done this before, you split up. Our son wants to stay in the park, our daughter or our toddler wants to go back to the room. So we'll split up, but that is super convenient. And
it really
and
is.
It's something that really is only available otherwise at the Magic Kingdom with Bay Lake Tower and the Contemporary and now Grand Floridian, because they built a bridge to connect Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom so that you can walk. So it's not something that's available. I do want to mention too, the Skyliner. So the Skyliner is something that connects a number of resorts to Epcot and Hollywood Studios, and it's a gondola system. So that is something that is really cool as well. If you're looking at resorts, it actually connects value resorts, moderate resorts, and deluxe resorts. So it's not one of those things that's only a perk for people that are staying at a deluxe resort. It's something that really is available to everyone depending on what resort you pick.
Right.
And we haven't ridden on it. I'm really looking forward to riding on that.
I was going to say that's on our bucket list. The Skyliners, they look really, really cool. Also, we've never stayed at Bay Lake, which, like Nick said, is literally walking distance to Magic or Grand Floridian. All of that is on our bucket list someday.
There's a lot of things on our bucket list because the list of resorts that we've actually stayed at is pretty small.
Right.
Because staying on site is something that we just started to do a couple years ago.
Right.
And there's lots of different ways to go to Disney. There's a lot of positives to staying on site. There's a lot of positives to staying off site. It's really a personal preference.
Right.
I think, you know, one of these days we'll talk about staying on site versus staying off site and the pros and cons of both. And so that's probably something for a later podcast. But for conversation's sake on this one, a big positive for Boardwalk, being able to walk to two parks, Epcot and Hollywood Studios. One of the other things that I'm looking forward to is we do try to work in some sit-down restaurants into our trips. And that was easier whenever the dining plan was still being offered, and we were able to take advantage of the free dining plan a couple times where we traveled to Walt Disney World, which was really awesome. Actually, was our first experience with the dining plan, but the dining plan is not being offered right now. And I wanted to highlight a couple restaurants that we're trying. The one I'll start with is Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater. It's a really immersive experience, and I'm talking about it like I've been there and I haven't.
No.
But I've watched a lot of YouTube videos on it.
And it's at Hollywood Studios. And this is the one that I would say that I'm probably the most excited about as well. Because it literally looks like a drive-in movie theater.
Yeah, so it basically looks like you have gone to a drive-in movie theater in your hometown, wherever that is.
In the 50s.
In the 50s. And you're sitting in cars, eating your meal, watching old B-movies. Of, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon and things like that.
Black and white movies.
Black and white movies. And you're sitting with your family in a fake car. So I know our kids are looking forward to that too. But one thing that I wanted to mention is look around at sit-down dining, because it isn't always super expensive compared to quick service. this is an example, sci-fi dine-in theater, where it's really just slightly more expensive than something you would get at a quick service location, but the theming and the immersion is so much better than walking into a quick service restaurant and getting, you know, chicken tenders and fries and heading out. Although very few things can beat Sunny Eclipse.
Right. We love Sunny Eclipse.
At Cosmic Rays in the Magic Kingdom. Then everybody will find out that we are big fans of Sunny Eclipse.
And I think the big thing, too, to remember whenever you are planning to go to the park is, you know, like Nick said, really consider trying some of these. That doesn't mean you every single day you have to go to a sit-down restaurant. But, you know, maybe try like one or two during your stay, because when you look at the vacation as a whole, it's not just the parks or the rides. You know, these restaurants are also part of the experience as well. Where you stay is also part of the experience. So it's a whole package, and the restaurants are certainly part of that.
So Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater is definitely one that I'm looking forward to. One other one that I would just call out that I think has really great theming, and as history buffs, only Ann's a history teacher, I'm just a history buff. I am really looking forward to eating at one of my favorite restaurants in Disney World. Actually, I will say that it's my favorite restaurant in Disney World, Liberty Tree Tavern, which is basically modeled after a colonial tavern in the Revolutionary War. They have several rooms. Each one is based on a founding father or founding mother being Betsy Ross. And so you can sit, I believe it's Ben Franklin, George Washington, and then of course Betsy Ross. But everybody is dressed in colonial attire, and you basically eat a Thanksgiving feast. Which is really cool. And for lunch, they have a bunch of different things on the menu. And one tip I would give people for lunch is that lunch is coming at lunchtime prices, which are less than what dinner would be. So if you're looking to dine on more of a budget, something that would be closer to a quick service price, then make a reservation for Liberty Tree Tavern for lunch, because it's really excellent. The turkey, the stuffing, I really like the brisket. You don't normally eat the brisket because you're allergic to mushrooms.
I am. Yeah, I have
to
be.
And there's usually some mushrooms in that.
Right. But, you know, that's another thing. You know, Disney is really good at, you know, if you point out to them that you have a food allergy, whatever it may be, they do a really great job at accommodating you. I remember the first time that we went there, they actually brought me out. Do you remember that? They brought me out my own little portion of brisket without the mushrooms. So they normally do a really great job at that. But yeah, no, Liberty Tree, I would say, is probably our favorite. And it's kind of a nice break, especially if you are kind of sticking with more quick service stuff. It's kind of a nice break from like burgers and fries and chicken tenders or pizza or whatever, because they do serve things family style, and it's often like turkey and stuffing and all that good stuff. So it's excellent.
When the dining plan comes back, it's a really great use of a dining plan credit, because it's a real meal.
Right.
And that's really important, because not everywhere you go on vacation is a real meal that you would have sitting around your family's dinner table. One other point I wanted to make on Liberty Tree Tavern and any dining reservation that you make. My Disney Experience, obviously a really great tool, but you can go in and you can check boxes for food allergies that might be in your family, so that you have a situation like we had with Solianne, that the wait staff already knew that she was allergic to something, and then they would just ask, what are you allergic to, and make sure that the food that is prepared matches that allergy, or does not match that allergy, probably better stated.
Right.
So those are some restaurants that we are looking forward to. And like I said, we always try to work a couple sit-down restaurants in. We've had, you know, some success with those. I think it'll be easier as our kids get older, but
I think so.
Our little guy is three now, so he is being able to sit and eat without causing a fuss. So we'll look forward to that, and hopefully all goes well, but we'll let everybody know after we get back. The other thing I'm looking forward to is, Disney came out and they said that people don't have to wear masks outside, and they made that determination a couple weeks ago. Obviously, you still have to wear masks in a lot of the queues, and definitely in indoor spaces. So I think obviously that's a sign that the COVID-19 pandemic has gotten better, and it's definitely been a long and hard At this point, I believe it's been about 15 months since the start of the pandemic. And so definitely good to see that regulations are starting to be rolled back as cases go down. So I am looking forward to that. And of course, want to reiterate what we said in a previous podcast. If you are traveling by air, masks are still required. If you have a trip that's coming up, be working with your kids, because we don't know how long the regulation on planes is going to be in place. And it is very firmly enforced on a lot of different airlines. So work with your kids now and make sure that they're comfortable with wearing a mask, at least on the plane. We don't know how long Disney World is going to have mask regulations indoors, but we know that that airplane regulation is going to hang around at least for a little while.
Right. And remember, with even at Disney, in the outdoor space, like Nick said, is where you can take off your mask. If you're waiting in the queues, even riding a ride in a store or walking into a restaurant before you're seated, those masks still have to be on. So don't head to the parks without your mask. You could, of course, buy them at the parks, but I would just recommend have them with you, because you will need them at least a portion of the time that you're there.
I read an article today that Disney World is offering masks, buy one, get one free right now. So if folks are headed to the park, there might be some deals. As masks are required in less places, there might be some deals as Disney looks to decrease their inventory of the masks.
And they are really cute.
Restrictions going down. They are very cute.
Yeah, they're cute. We don't have any, but they're cute.
So that does it for my three things. And what's cool is that I just get to sit back and comment on yours. And you have some really fun ones.
I do.
I've been looking forward to talking about these.
I do. I was told when I was by one of my favorite teachers ever, I was told in high school that she just got a kick out of the fact that I was always so amused by simple things, which I took that as a compliment. I don't know, maybe it wasn't, but so my list is very simple, I guess you could say. the very first thing that I'm looking forward to is, and for those of you who maybe you've never been to Magic Kingdom before, Magic Kingdom is divided into different lands. Okay, so there is an Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, and they're all situated around the castle. Okay. And so whenever you go into Magic Kingdom, you know, you walk down Main Street, you make it to the front of the castle, and then you have to make a choice as to where you want to go. And usually where you go is dependent on what you want to ride. And so typically whenever we start out on our day at Magic Kingdom, we always head, we make a left. After we get to the castle, we head left and we go toward Adventureland, where things like Jungle Cruise and Pirates of the Caribbean are located, and we kind of work our way around that way. And so the last park that we normally get to in the day is Tomorrowland, because usually we just kind of work our way around, unless we have fast passes or something, which, as we said, those aren't being used right now. So the first thing on my list is I want to really try to spend some time exploring Tomorrowland, because I feel as if, at least for me, that's the park that I pay the least amount of attention to. I don't know whether it's just the theme, it's just the one that, I don't know, maybe doesn't interest me quite as much, but there are a lot of really cool rides here. Space Mountain is really good, but there are a lot that I've never rode before, like the People Mover, which you've rode, and you said it's really good.
I've ridden it, it's good.
So I would like to ride that. And then the Astro Orbiter, I think, looks really cool. And you get some really cool sites of like the castle and things like that from that orbiter. So that's my first thing. I really want to dedicate some time to checking out Tomorrowland.
So when we get to the park, you're going straight to Tomorrowland then?
I'm probably not going to go straight there. Oh. I will probably still go to Adventureland, just because that's kind of my routine, but I'm going to dedicate some time. I'm going to force myself.
You're going to dedicate some time, but on your own time. You're not going to go there first.
No.
But you're right. I mean, People Mover is really great. It's definitely, you kind of relax and just kind of absorb everything.
Right.
People Mover goes kind of behind the scenes of a lot of Tomorrowland attractions. It goes inside Space Mountain. You can also check out the construction of the new Tron coaster, which is under construction next to Space Mountain. And then it's just a leisurely ride. I have not ever been on Astro Orbiter either. So no. It actually is on my list as well. I didn't put it on my top three, but I would like to ride that too. But I think Tomorrowland is great. I would not head there first. I would recommend for people that are rope dropping, which means going to the park right when they open, to head to Adventureland, to some of those attractions that get longer lines.
Right.
Probably my top tip would be to head to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because that is one that can easily rack up a 90-minute wait before too long much time passes in the morning.
And the nice thing about Mine Train is that it is one of the newer. It's considered a coaster, but it's like a mini coaster, but it is still very good. So it's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's just for like young children or anything, because we all, you know, we get a kick out of it too. But it is very, you know, it's based on the Seven Dwarves, and you know, even young kids. I think the height requirement for this one's like 38 inches.
38 inches for this one.
Yeah, like our young niece, who is only 3, they just went a few months ago, and she was even able to ride this thing. So you know, if you have younger children, you know, around the age of 3, 4, I'm sure that they would probably meet that height requirement. So that's something that everybody could ride on. So yeah, definitely kind of have that plan in mind before you go in, just so you know, okay, where am I heading? But yeah, I always kind of feel bad at the end of the day, because poor Tomorrowland just gets kind of glossed over a little bit for me. So yeah, I want to spend a little bit more time there. So that's number one. My second one is kind of, this one's kind of, I don't know, kind of unusual, but I'm looking forward to the smells of Disney World.
It's the little things.
Yeah, it is. And so if you've never been to and I'm saying Magic Kingdom a lot, because I think that's where all mine are based around
Magic. Is that where
all
your smells are?
Well, no, there probably are other smells too. But the ones that I often think about are like the bakery on Main Street. The Pirates of the Caribbean, the Christmas shop at Magic Kingdom in Liberty Square. They all have very like unique scents. And the cool thing about Disney is the fact that those particular scents are like pumped into the air in these different locations. And so you really notice them whenever you're walking around. So when you're walking down Main Street, you can smell that bakery smell. When you're in the Christmas shop, it literally smells like Christmas. I want to give a shout out to Magic Candle Company. If you've never heard of them before, check them out. This is a really cool company that creates Disney-scented candles and also like oils.
They have air fresheners. They have air freshener spray. It's really a one-stop shop when it comes to Disney scents. And a great call out. MagicCandleCompany.com if you're interested in heading over there. I'm going to pick yours out here, Zolianne. It's called Rome Burning from Spaceship Earth, which you absolutely love.
No, this is my least favorite. So we got a box of these like scents. Okay, and these are actually the top... What are they? The top 10 most popular, right? I think that's what this box is.
That's what it is.
And so we have a diffuser down here in our basement in our office where we're sitting right now. And whenever we put the scents in the diffuser, like the oils, the entire basement smells like whatever it is that we're diffusing. So it's awesome. Some of the things that they included in here, okay, other than Rome Burning, which is not my favorite. But the bakery, Haunted Mansion has a scent. Like I said, Pirates of the Caribbean has one called Pirate's Life. The Banshee Flight, which is from Flight of Passage in the Pandora section of Animal Kingdom, smells really great. Pineapple Dole Whip. So if you've never had a Dole Whip, it has a smell. So, you know, maybe check that out. Flying Over Orange Groves, which is from Soarin' and Epcot. And then there are a few from some resorts, Wilderness Lodge, Polynesian, Contemporary. All have their own kind of signature scents. So not all Magic Kingdom scents. And there are many others. These are just like the top 10 that we got. But they're fantastic. So I'm looking forward to all of that.
Yeah, and I like all of them in the box. We stayed at Wilderness Lodge last summer, and I knew that I had to come home and get this oil that smelled like Wilderness Lodge, because it is a smell that's really hard to put your finger on. It's not awful. Exactly what you would expect for a resort that's themed around a Rocky Mountain Lodge, mm-hmm. but it's just it's an amazing smell. I also really like Pirate Life. The part of the ride that I'm thinking of is right when you go down the first drop of mm-hmm. Pirates of the Caribbean and Magic Kingdom, right before you pass into the area where Captain Barbossa's on right. the ship. That smell is amazing and right. replicated really well in that scent. And I love the haunted scent as well.
Me
so
too.
These are all really great.
They're awesome.
I put them in the diffuser and use them while I'm working.
Yeah,
in
and
my
you
home
can
office.
You can just smell that everywhere. So it's definitely check those out. And when you're, you know, when you go to the parks, you know, pay attention. Even the popcorn stands where they sell popcorn, they even pump that popcorn kind of buttery smell to really kind of draw you in. And so it's awesome. So pay attention to the smells. I know I will be.
That's a great one. I mean, that's a little thing, but it's a great thing. I'm looking forward to it as well. And I actually had the thought before you mentioned it,
mm-hmm.
but I let you have that one.
Yeah, you let me have it. You know, yeah. But no, it was really good. All right. And my third thing that I'm looking forward to are all the, like, the little novelty shops. And again, I'm talking about Magic Kingdom. There are others at the other parks, but I'm just, for some reason, my brain just went to Magic Kingdom when I was coming up with this list. But there are a few kind of little specialty shops at Magic Kingdom that are like really cute, and I always try to visit whenever I'm there. I mentioned one of them when I was talking about the smells, the little Christmas shop. I think it's called what is it?
It's Ye Olde Christmas Shop.
Yeah, there we go. Ye Olde Christmas Shop, and it's in Liberty Square. It's just this cute little building, and it's adorable. I always go in there to get ornaments, and it's a really cute place. But I like to go there. The other shop that I really like to visit is one that some people may miss. I know when my mother-in-law was there a few months ago, she actually missed this one. It is fairly new, I think. I don't even know if it was there the last time she was there, but it's based on the Haunted Mansion. And it's called Memento Mori. And it's right, like, outside of the mansion, kind of right on the corner across from the Columbia Harbor House quick service restaurant. It's a little kind of gothic looking building. And they have, you know, things in there based around the Haunted Mansion. So it's a really cool place. So, you know, definitely check that out. Check out the Christmas shop. Of course, Main Street always has a lot of really nice little shops and bakeries and things like that. Or they have a Starbucks if you're looking for some coffee in the morning or some tea, iced tea later in the afternoon. But yeah, I like to check all those out in the middle of riding all those rides.
Memento Mori, which is the Haunted Mansion shop, has really great theming as well. And I think we'll, at some point here, we'll do a top five best themed attractions mm-hmm. or shops mm-hmm. in Disney World. Maybe we'll break it down by Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, right. Epcot. I love theming. Mm-hmm. The more immersive, the better.
Right.
And I think Disney's attention to detail is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Disney has a philosophy that it's all about line of sight. You shouldn't be able to see another area of the park from where you're standing. Everything should blend into the theme mm-hmm. to the point that Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios was designed to look like it would fit in Morocco.
Right.
Because it has to, because you can see Tower of Terror from the Morocco Pavilion in Epcot.
Right.
Just incredible.
So even though we're talking two different parks, Tower of Terror is obviously in Hollywood Studios, Morocco is in Epcot. It's that within that line of sight. And so, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, incredible work in theming. I think Walt Disney World, all of the Disney parks are the best themed in the world. Definitely the leaders for amusement and theme parks. So, but that's why we're here talking about it, because right. we love it and we're obsessed with it.
It's awesome.
So, but that wraps up your three. So right. what we did was we asked the kids, what are you looking forward to the most? And we mentioned Tower of Terror. So I'll mm-hmm. start with our son, Christian, who's 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian, like all of his siblings, is obsessed with Disney World. Mm-hmm. Christian is the rider. Yes. Though. That is what he gets the most out of on the trip. He loves Expedition Everest. Mm-hmm. And that was the first big ride that he was able to ride. We had Christian there when he was 4 years old. So Christian was a little bit shorter than 44 inches. We found that out when we went up to see how tall he was, and he wasn't able to ride, and he was really upset.
Right.
He wasn't able to do it until we went back, and he had grown a little bit. He was right under where he needed to be, but he fell in love with that ride. Mm-hmm. It's still his favorite ride to that day, to this day.
And he got me to ride it the second time I think we went, and I am not a roller coaster person. I love like Big Thunder and like the Mine Train. Those are awesome, but like a big coaster, I don't like that. And so Everest, for those of you who have ever been there and maybe never rode it before, it looks like this very intimidating type of a ride. And so I was scared to death. We were actually in the first row, which made it even more scary because I didn't know what to expect. However, it's one of my favorite rides now. It's awesome. So even if you are a person who is not a coaster person like me, give Everest a try. It looks worse than what it is, and it's really fantastic. And talking about theming, the queue for Everest is awesome.
Yeah, it's based on a fake Yeti expedition in Nepal or the Himalayas, but a lot of actually real artifacts in that queue, and a lot of, I mean, it's very educational about the Yeti mythology in the Himalayas area of Asia. I love it too. It's one of my favorite attractions. I love riding it with Christian because he's just so excited about it. And that's what it's all about, is is seeing your kids' passion come to light. Our time in Disney World is our easiest time as parents.
Right.
Because our kids are doing what they want to do. They're happy. They go to bed and they sleep easy because they're so tired. And I mean, so what am I looking forward to? Getting down to Disney World, getting them doing what they want to do, and having fun with them. I mean, it never gets old seeing your kids' passions. And there's something for everybody because Christian's the rider of the group. And A Tower of Terror is another one. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this today, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think we have you convinced to go on Tower of Terror because you're not a thrill seeker. You're not a rider.
No.
But I think we have you convinced to go on Tower of Terror.
Remember, I like the smells.
You like the smells.
Okay. Yes,
there is a Tower of Terror smell.
There is. Yeah, it's pretty good. But no, yeah, so it's, you know, as the mom who doesn't like to ride a lot of, like, things like that, I'll probably get forced to, especially now that our three-year-old is at the height requirement. So I can no longer just kind of stay out and say, oh, I have to stay with Carter. So I may get on Tower of Terror the next time.
It was such a good excuse while it lasted.
It was, right, yeah.
So you were able to ride that out for 3.5 years, but now Carter, our little guy, is getting taller, and you're going to have to ride things for him.
Yeah.
So but the family is looking forward to it. So Claire, how would you define Claire's experience in the park?
Claire likes to ride, but Claire, I would say, is probably a little more like me. Like, she likes what she likes. She did ride Everest and was really terrified by it. And, you know, so she likes rides to a certain extent, but Claire really likes, the kind of the learning aspect of the parks as well. So, like, I'm thinking about, you know, Animal Kingdom. She loves animals, and there is a safari trail. Well, it's not a safari, but this, you know, the little nature trail that you can walk through. And there's a lot of like educational little stations and stuff like that. She really liked that. She loves Epcot. And I, you know, a lot because of the countries and everything. But she's actually looking forward to the resort the most. She says that she's been wanting to stay at a Boardwalk for a really long time. And she's really looking forward to the new slide there.
Yeah, they have a new slide. They had this forever. They had this slide that had a clown head at the exit, and people were really split on it. Some people loved it. Some people were absolutely terrified of it and hated it. I was able to see it in person. I was a fan of the clown slide. It didn't terrify me at all. Right. I thought it was cool. Of course, the theming of Boardwalk Resort is the New Jersey or Delaware or, you know, New York Boardwalk, basically that Mid-Atlantic Boardwalk theme. So I think it fit in pretty well there, but they rethemed themed it with Mickey and Friends, and mm-hmm. it's called the Keister Coaster now.
Right.
But this slide looks really cool. I'm actually looking forward to riding on it myself. I think it's going to be a fun time. But Claire really gets excited about the resorts. I think she's in line with me. She likes the theming.
Yes.
And likes the thought that goes into right. all of the attractions. And Claire also likes to do the meet and greets yes. whenever they do have them. And no, she's been pretty bummed that they haven't returned back. But we're looking forward to that happening in the future. Which leaves Carter.
Yeah.
So Carter he's been a bystander all of these times that we've went to Disney World since he was little, just being able to ride rides that don't have a height requirement and not understanding them, definitely. But he's 3.5 and he is really looking forward to this trip. He talks about Slinky Dog nonstop.
Right.
And we were worried that he wouldn't meet the height requirement even for that. So we looked it up and it's 38 inches.
Right.
So if you're heading to Disney World with a toddler, number one, I would say try the Barnstormer mm-hmm. at Magic Kingdom because it has a very low height requirement and it's kind of a kid coaster.
Right.
If your kids like that and if they are 38 inches, you can take them on Mine Train and mm-hmm. also Slinky Dog. So it's kind of a graduation process on roller coasters
right.
at Magic Kingdom and the other Disney parks where you can start them out on some of these coasters that are a little more gentle. Although I think Slinky Dog and Mine Train have their thrills. I think they're great coasters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're awesome. Slinky Dog is probably if I had, and we're going to do a podcast, like a sort of comparing, you know, do you like this or that or whatever. If I had to pick between Mine Train or Slinky, I would probably pick Slinky. I don't know. I think it's really cute and it's Toy Story themed and it's really fun. Not that Mine Train isn't great. It's a little too short. In my opinion, I wish it was a little longer. But you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is great. But yeah, Slinky is really, really fun. So I'm really looking forward to riding on that with him.
And then there are some classics that he can ride as well, since he's about 40 inches. So he'll be able to do Big Thunder Railway, which is Big Thunder Railroad, actually, which is obviously a classic and an awesome ride, one of my favorites. He'll be able to do Splash Mountain, mm-hmm. which I think he's totally going to love.
He'll
be in love with it.
Yeah.
And he actually can do Tower of Terror as well, since that seems to be the theme of the back half of the podcast here.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a ride review of Tower of Terror because we're going to get Zolianne on it, and she doesn't like to. You don't like that stomach feeling.
I don't like drop rides. No, I don't. Like on Rise of the Resistance, we rode that. What was it? Like a couple years ago.
Yeah, January of 2020.
Yeah, and it has like a little drop at the end, which that was enough for me. Just that. I mean, that was fine with that. But yeah, no, the thought of just being dropped continuously just doesn't appeal to me. However, I may be outvoted. So.
And I told you the one thing that has changed on Tower of Terror over the years was originally there was a lap bar and you did kind of experience a weightless feeling.
Uh-huh.
They do have seat belts now.
See,
so you're kind
it.
Of more strapped in.
Yeah. See, I rode it with the bar.
I think that will impact your emotion about the ride. Maybe your liking of it a little bit. So
we'll
we're going to give that a try and we'll be able to report back to everybody how that went. So we're leaving here in a couple weeks and really looking forward to it. Looking forward to bringing some of the experiences to our folks on Facebook and Instagram. And once we get that YouTube channel set up, we'll be able to connect with everybody on there. So that is going to do it for this episode.
Have a magical day.
And have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.